please listen carefully.
Well, hello, universe, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, including Monday mornings when we have not had enough coffee. We publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy podcast. I'd like to just take a moment to give props to Amelia this morning, who hasn't even had a cup of coffee, but is drinking tea so as not to awaken her roommates by grinding the coffee beans. That is some community thinking, Amelia. Well done. Christy, how has your Monday morning treated you?
Well, I feel tremendously chipper for a Monday. I was saying this earlier in our pre-show conversation. I'm not exactly sure why, although it's probably linked to a couple things. One, my lovely, lovely life partner got me a early birthday present of a new iPad, which was really, really nice. Because the one I've been using is like a double hand-me-down. It was like a generation 2 that is no longer able to update. And I know this is first world problems, but, you know, my iPad has been uncomfortable to use lately because it keeps shutting itself down and I can't do much with it other than watch Netflix and listen to podcasts, which is a lot of what I do. But now I have this great new iPad. So I've been watching Apple TV. So they give it you a year for free. And on there, I have been exploring The Morning Show, which I find really interesting and compelling television, with Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell and Reese Witherspoon. It's made me think about things, which was good. And the other really positive part of my weekend was that I have a close friend who's an interior designer and has had to come out of her personal quarantine to do some work. But one of her clients is this tremendously wealthy couple who has an estate in Montecito, and she's been house sitting for them.
Oh, lovely.
So I got to go and spend an afternoon there yesterday in their luxurious pool and jacuzzi and this massive house. So that was really a nice experience just to get in the pool and also see my friend and her husband and some other friends who came over. A very small gathering, but it was really neat to spend a little bit of time like that. But the thing that made me appreciate is my small house and my close-knit neighborhood. Because I do not know what I would do with myself if I had to be all alone in a massive house.
In all that space, it would be
all
very,
that space, and
just,
you know,
being
if it was just
alone would be pretty
just
hard.
Just being alone, or just being with my partner, with my husband, I don't know that I could really manage that. I like having more people around me, and that's part of why this whole lockdown experience has been challenging to me personally. Is that I'm a communal soul, and I like being around other human beings.
Absolutely.
So anyway, but it was interesting. It was a good break. It was nice to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there.
Well, we also got to go swimming in a family friend's pool yesterday, celebrating with my parents. It was my mother's birthday, and we took Brennan and we let her swim and play. And I think I've expressed kind of sadness that I haven't been able to get her into baby swim classes to ensure she has water safety, but we're doing the best we can just on our own. And she loves the water. And likewise, I was in this lovely, great big garden with tons of outdoor space and great big, beautiful trees. And it was really, really special to watch her kind of wander around, crawl and sort of walk and walk with my mom and have this magical outdoor space. While I do appreciate my smaller home and our little condensed living area, because we are a lot of people in a relatively small home, I wouldn't mind having an enormous yard with lots of trees for my little one to go play in. But we have committed to more park time, and fortunately the parks nearby are open again, so I can let her get out and about. But outdoor space seems to be the theme of this past weekend for us both.
Yeah. And the thing that I find interesting in both of our experiences, if there was more positively public outdoor space, you wouldn't be, you know, feeling that the lack, nor would I.
Mm-hmm.
If we had access to it.
If we had access to like beautiful public space like that. In a future world that we are in the process of imagining and building right now, big access to beautiful public space is the way I think we should invest.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and looking ahead at how we might invest in different futures and different tomorrows, why don't you kick it off? Because your story is the right one to key that in.
Okay, well, my headline, and there were some interesting things in today's top stories.
Christy, you can't say they were interesting.
Okay, you're right. Okay, well, it was hard for me to choose what to focus on. But the one that sparked my attention that I wanted to highlight today is the headline, Portugal abandons coal power 2 years ahead of schedule. And this was a highlight from our energy section on the Optimist Daily. I think it's wonderful that Portugal has actually beat their own objective to bring forward the shutdown of the last coal plant that they get their energy from 2023 down to 2021. So they're going to be completely off of coal energy next year. And that is a really quite a tremendous movement from a small country in Europe. I like that. This is it's an accelerated coal phase out. Originally, the goal was 2030, then it was 2023, and now it's 2021. A lot of other countries in Europe are similarly following suit. But the reason that I wanted to highlight this is because of country Portugal. I have a good friend who's now retired there, and he is loving his life. His cost of living is significantly less than it would be otherwise here in the United States or pretty much any place else. So his pension goes quite a long way living in Portugal, he and his wife. I also was reading another article over the weekend about calling for an end to how we quantify success in the world. And the idea that growth is how you can determine what is the best country, the wealthiest countries.
Well, like the best economic indicator of success.
Yes, best economic indicator. If you look at growth and you look at per capita income, for example, the United States per capita average income is like $60,000. Portugal's per capita is like $21,000. Now, if you look at that, you think, oh, America is like the wealthiest country. Portugal is this little tiny speck, right? People in Portugal live and on average 4 years longer than the average American. So their life expectancy is higher. Americans are like 78 point something. Portuguese is close to 82 years. Spain right next door is 83 years.
Right.
But the quality of life. So if you instead of per capita income as a indicator and growth and growing your economy, GDP, 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 having a bigger, better economy, and instead look at well-being, which is like what countries like New Zealand have started to do. And you look at the quality of life that you're offering your citizens, I think that might be the indicator of the future. And that's what I think is how economists are starting to think about this, how policymakers are just starting to wake up to the fact that maybe bigger is not better. And the reason that I was thinking about that is my experience over the weekend getting to enjoy this massive mansion in a gated community, it was a beautiful house, but it was so sterile and so empty of life. It might be relaxing, but is that really what I would be shooting for? The answer for me is no. I like my 3-bedroom cramped condo that houses 5 people, you know, which is similar to what you have. Mm-hmm. I like next door neighbors who I can hear if they're fighting. I mean, luckily I don't have too many fighting neighbors, but you know, I like that I can go out of my front door and check in with my friend and neighbor and her dog plays with my dog and our kids are knowing each other. And I think that's important. We're social creatures and I like that. That's my rant for the morning.
Well, so it's not just a rant. It is a thoughtful conversation. And we got into it a bit before we started recording. I think that you are absolutely right that we need to look at growth and we need to look at expansion and we need to redefine what growth and expansion mean. If growth and expansion could mean overall wellness, overall happiness, as opposed to just expansion and productivity. When I was in business school, we did a fair amount of work on the expansion and productivity out of China. And it was an economy focused on the time of building, building, building. But they built a lot of empty buildings. The productivity itself didn't result in a better outcome for the citizens. I think that we can acknowledge that that also happens here in the United States, as well as other developed countries where the increased productivity can accelerate the seemingly economic viability, the quote unquote credit score, although I'm not sure we have great credit scores, but nonetheless, the value of growth, what does expansion, what does evolution look like? Yeah. And could a happier, healthier population be a better future?
And it's kind of the law of diminishing returns, right? Yes, you have to have a certain level of prosperity among your population. Getting out of abject poverty and insecurity is essential. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, keep going, bigger, 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 spending more and more and more, buying more and more and more does not lead to greater well-being. And in fact, like you were talking about, the building these empty buildings, for what purpose? Is that efficient? Continuing to have an economy which is based on consumption, and it means that you have to create products that break down quicker so that you have more consumption.
Exactly. The factored in planned obsolescence
and, you know, fast fashion. Is that really a model that we should continue to pursue? And I say no. And I think that this article about Portugal got me going, thinking about another article I read over the weekend about sort of calling for moving away from prioritizing growth and instead prioritizing well-being as sort of the post-growth economic models of what the next generation of metrics ought to be when we think about how we want to grow our economies. It's time for us to get to a post-growth economy here in the United States.
At the Optimist Daily, we know we're kind of preaching to the choir, right? If you've selected optimism, if you are focused on solutions, you are certainly going to be more amenable to this kind of idea. But I do know that it's so easy, it's kind of cheap and easy to paint with broad strokes that the notion of a post-growth economy would be a socialist economy, or, you know, using these buzzwords that have now become so manipulated and inflamed that it's all fear-based. And I would encourage anyone who is listening to this, who might have a family member who would be resistant to this idea or might not be open to this particular kind of a concept, to think about it not in the broad strokes that the traditional media is painting that might create fear, but instead look at your family members, look at your sons and daughters and grandchildren and say, what would make their day-to-day life better? And would it be a continuing increase in a rat race, or would it be investment into systems that would allow them to be happier and healthier?
So speaking of systems, and I know let's get off this topic. Okay. I want to know about the highlighted headline you just chose today, Summers.
Let me frame it by my fabulous Facebook post this weekend was about like which mermaid tail would be yours. So this adorable company, I don't even know where they are, but they created this page that had like 10 different mermaid tails, this little image, and it was like, pick which one. So I posted it on my page. I've seen it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times since it got posted. Well done, little company that I should probably look up. But that takes us to the ocean, which is a place that is very meaningful to both you and I, Christy. My headline today is this 100% energy self-sufficient boat transforms seawater into hydrogen fuel in the transportation section of the Optimist Daily. This little boat, which is covered in solar panels, is making its own hydrogen fuel from the seawater underneath us. Now, hydrogen has long been touted as a potential clean energy alternative for fossil fuels. It's also a green candidate to replace diesel engines, but adoption for hydrogen has been really, really slow. And part of that is because there's not enough hydrogen refill stations to, you know, really supplement cars. I know electric vehicles have had a proliferation in that, but hydrogen's the little engine that could. It's working its way in there. And this boat, I think, is just a fantastic next step. The boat is called the Energy Observer. And it's got just a patchwork of different cutting edge technologies, bringing all of the fuel cell together to power the boat through seawater. Got me thinking about being out on the wide, wide ocean and picking which mermaid tail I would have. Oh, and the company that posted this mermaid thing is called Beach House Treasures, FYI. Okay.
One of the things that I like about it is that this boat, which was designed as a proof of concept in terms of moving away from a diesel-based or fossil fuel-based propulsion system on the water, because massive batteries in a boat is okay, but like air travel also needs to move away from burning fuels. We highlighted a hydrogen fuel cell based airplane a few weeks ago. The thing that I like about this is that it uses a collection of different technologies to get beyond the fossil fuel. Really, a sustainable future is going to require this type of patchwork of new technologies.
Exactly. Like the combination of all of them.
The storage batteries, that's one part of it, but so is hydrogen. If we're really going to move off of fossil fuels, we need to have that long-term storage. Anyway, I just think this is a great story. I'm so excited to see this kind of proof of concept starting to be built and see how then we can deploy that in different areas of our transportation and also energy storage.
Everybody, read more about the technology on the optimistdaily.com. I don't want Christy and I to get too in-depth on the tech there because we do want you to read the article. There are other articles you should read on the Optimist Daily as well. Incredible scientists 3D print a heart pump that beats on its own. Sliding scale pay systems to make wellness circles more inclusive. I think that's really fascinating. There is a great way to protect your brain from air pollution with a recipe on fish preparation. I think we've written about IKEA's classic meatball, having a plant-based version, but good old IKEA is always there. And what else do we have on here?
There's a new AI network, a giant AI network, which is going to be a tool in tracking global emissions real time. We have algae, which is helping a brewery cut carbon emissions. This is a brewery in Australia. Germany is offering generous subsidies to lure people to switch over to electric vehicles. KFC is wanting to use 3D printing to produce, quotes, eco-friendly chicken. And I think that's an interesting trend in protein of the future. And that's it for today on the top headlines. But I think it'd be wonderful if people just go in and read about this.
Excellent. Well, thank you everyone for listening to the Optimist Daily Update on this Monday where we're all over the place. Thanks for listening to our deep thoughts on the future economies that will make the world better. We promise to continue to share positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. For just $5 a month, you can support reader-funded independent journalism, be a part of the solution-changing consciousness, addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset, and you can help us keep the Optimist Daily free for those who need it, supported by those who can.
Excellent. Thank you, everybody. Have a great Monday, and we'll see you tomorrow.